cheese on bread. I know I am. I didn't know it was possible to breathe in a piece of bread, but apparently it is. Very nice. Yes, sorry for the slight delay. Turns out North Yorkshire's a really, really long way away. And we did know that in theory, but now we really know it.
Young damsel, but fair, handsome, these rhymes are true, as I've been told. On the banks of Shannon, in a lofty mansion, her father claimed great stores of gold. Her hair was black, as raven's heather, her form and feature dissembling can. Then what a feather, what upon the station, she fell in love with this serving man. As Mary Ann, the lover, were walking, of her saw them and nearer drew. And as these two lovers were truly talking, in anger home her father flew. To go the dungeon was his intention, to part of lovers contrive a plan. He swore an oath and vowed intention, he'd part his daughter from her serving man. So he built a dungeon of bricks and mortar, with hollow steps that bores underground. The food that he gave her was bread and water, just one chair for those pound. Three times a day he crooned his hope, out in the window his daughter sang. If I have transgressed my hungry father, I'll then be tied for my serving man. When Edwin saw that her habitation was well and secure, our own iron door, he bowed his eyes and for their nation he gained her freedom. At the front he soon got ready, with pick and crowbar he soon began. And with his bed he got in the dungeon, and there he found his sweet Mary Ann. And when now he saw that his daughter had vanished, just like a lion in the flower of God, he says, "For mine, I'll have you back. vanished when the Lord saw us in your car. Then says the man in the sea bed, oh, now I found that you're only can. For if your daughter will loyal pleasure, I want to play as your serving man. When the old man saw him so tender hearted, straight he fell down on the dungeon floor. I sure in true love will half a horse's lock and break down the iron door.
Mother Molly, and forms the second track on our Moral of the Elephant album. I was reminded today by Facebook that we were in Bristol this time 8 years ago on the launch of that album tour, and yes, it is still the same set, in case you're wondering. We might try and chuck a couple of curveballs in there, just, you know, for pride. This is the second track on the Moral of the Elephant album, and the first track on Molly Drake's album, which was put out by Callie Callaman, who is the manager of the Nick Drake estate. And the album forms, I think, 21 songs that she wrote in her, well, essentially front room in India when she was there in the 1950s, 1940s, 1950s. Her husband was Nick Drake's father, was an early recording enthusiast, and recorded everything that she did. She was a wonderful songwriter, a beautiful pianist, and she sang songs with her sister as well, which, you know, immediately reminded me of my wife. So, it's a lovely record. It's just called Molly Drake, and there's a box set which includes the album that they put out of her and her sister as well, so it's worth checking out. Anyway, this is the saddest song about happiness that we know, except for that Ken Dodd one. And I will now, for your pleasure and delectation, attempt to sing this with a neck full of pizza. Thank you.
Thank you.
So good that we are still singing about it over 200 years later. It's called Blackwell Merry Night, and it was written originally in Cumbrian dialect by a fellow called Robert Anderson, who was known for, well, he was known as the Cumbrian Burns, because he approached his material very much in the same way that Robert Burns did. He wrote about his community, he wrote in the local traditional style. And yes, he wrote poems and songs and all kinds of stuff. This particular song was translated largely by Roy Palmer, and we found it in a book. But I have seen the original. Somebody came to a gig with the original printout. I can't remember who it was that brought it. And then we looked at it, and it was very much like a Cumbrian spider had been at that lockdown and wandered all over the page. So I'm very grateful to Roy Palmer for sorting this out so that we could sing it, because our Cumbrian dialect is somewhat rusty, even after 8 years. So the song depicts what's happening in the various rooms of the pub. Basically, up in the loft, you have a secret card game going on. People are gambling, they're playing a game called Lanta. And then in the various corridors, the sexy young people are all getting off with each other and having a very nice time. And by the fire, the old fellas are sitting boasting about their livestock, as old farmers are wont to do. And in the kitchen, where there's a nice hard floor, the championship clog dancer has turned up to give it some clog, as it were. Now, it is said of this young man that he can dance 20 times faster than any of the players can play, I don't know if we have any players in the audience tonight, or indeed any dancers. I'm sure you can appreciate how incredibly annoying that is. However, it's New Year's Eve and he's having a lovely time, and he's chucking himself around the kitchen, and it says, in one of the few dialect words that's been left in the song, it says that he's snapping his thumbs for a bit of a fratch. That means he's looking for a challenge. So he's looking for someone to beat him, but he's pretty sure that's not going to happen. Anyway, there he is, he's having a good time. Yeah, exactly. So everyone's having a great time, everyone's drinking and laughing, telling jokes and gurning and giving to charity, which is traditional at that time of year, and apparently not at any other time of year, God knows why. But yes, giving alms to the poor, having a lovely time, drinking a lot, and at some point the landlady turns up with a massive piece of cheese, which everyone is very excited about, and around about 5 o'clock in the morning, 1802, everyone falls asleep in the middle of the floor, on top of each other, apart from those who try to leave by the grandfather clock. So it sounds like a pretty good night. Now, we think this is one of those pubs that, I'm sure you have those around this kind of area as well, where you get sort of four villages and one pub becomes the hub for special occasions. We think that's probably what this is all about. A bit like Young Farmer, but with old farmers. So we think the only other piece of information that you really need to know about this is we think that this may be one of the earliest instances of product placement in a piece of entertainment. As every other piece of music or song or dance mentioned in this song is also a Robert Anderson piece of equipment. So it's almost like, you know, in The Matrix where everyone had the same phone. This one's like, if you enjoyed this song, you might like these other bits of my work. Buy the book, you know. Buy the pies. The pies are home. So, that's it really. I've kind of spoiled it for you now. And I guess the song is much shorter than the intro, so
that many lives are well used to deep drinking. I call him a ghost.
there's no other beat. I'm talking about chance and right fitness and quality. Their kisses just sound like a latch of engaged. Their asses are black but there's so many angels. But as their beauty so gory and foreign. God help the poor girl and sweets of them dancing as people wear hearts and shoulders and born. That pack of astronomy, it was lively. Many a one emptied up walk like a churn. That thread in the numb like a half-rusted kettle. Told smutty stories that made them all gurn. One sang some links in a northern quarters. Farmers all bragged of their billies and falls. They're jiving and joking and shaking and laughing till some girls in time to stand up to calls. Yeah. With white bread and brown, then knife it was sharp, the great cheese through a topper, and love's fingers, love stones, our lads gone down. The trim Johnny landlady cries, do not be shy. In God's name, step forward now, welcome and eat. Our ghosts are well filled and paid up for blind Jane. And her trouble with headaches and heartaches. Some friends in a cloakcase instead of a door. As sleeping and snoring took place in their glory. As once of another they lay on the floor. At last in December long gone they'll remember. At 5 in the morning, 1803. Here's health and success to the brave Johnny Dorst. And many such meetings may we need to see. So often the way with these things, Upway used to be a village outside of Weymouth and is now a suburb of Weymouth. So, and she had loads of kids. She had a few of them in the workhouse as well, but she was incredibly prolific as a singer and is known for having an insane repertoire of fragments of songs. How about you, when I ever hear about the collectors collecting fragments of people. This is a young woman who knew lots and lots of songs, and I suspect possibly the collectors just weren't paying her enough. It's like, okay, well, for that, you can have two verses and half of the chorus. Chuck in a goat, and I'll give you the middle eight. Kind of a deal. But nonetheless, a tune for this song, and the words that she did have were so lovely that we, well, changed them and added some of our own. So the original song is called Awake, Awake. You probably do know it, but we've messed with it a bit, and our version is called Waking Dreams.
Ballads and Blues. his name was Sam Marder, and he was a retired herring fisherman. I've never seen what we used to call a traditional singer. I've never seen one before. And I couldn't believe his energy. He was 80. And he just launched himself into every song he was going to sing. If he came to a room bit, he'd look at you on the call and say, "Am I to come on?" He knew what he was doing. He just knew how to play with the audience. And Ewan McCall didn't sing a single song all night. He just coaxed songs out of Sam. So when his record came out, I bought it. And one of the songs on it was this one. It's called The Dream of Napoleon. When I was a schoolboy, I was taught about how Wellington galloped all over all over Spain and Portugal, and did great deeds of daring do. And it didn't occur to me for years afterwards, when I was wanting to sing these songs, that no collector ever collected a song about the Duke of Wellington. They never did. But people sang songs about Bonaparte and their notes. And he was apparently loved. Certainly loved his loved the songs about him. Some of them were written by Englishmen. Some of them were written by Irish people, some by Scots, and probably one or two by Welsh people. Maybe he sang them in Welsh, I don't know. But he was loved.
Sad and languid, I went to my bed. I scarcely reclined on my pillow, when a vision surprising came into my head. I thought I was crossing the pillow. I dreamed as my vessel dashed over the deep, I beheld a huge rock standing craggy and steep, the place where the widows were once known to weep. All the grave of that once famed Napoleon. Oh, I dreamed as my vessel drew near to the land, I beheld clad in green, a bold figure, he the trumpet of fame that he held in his hand. On his brow there was valor and vigor. Oh, stranger, cried he, dost thou venture to be from the land of thy sires, where they boast they are free? A story, a true story, I'll tell unto thee, concerning that once famed Napoleon. As a soldier I've known of the heat and the cold. I march to the trump and the cymbal, by dark deeds of treachery I have installed. Thou monarchs before me do tremble, of rulers and princes their stations dee. Like scorpions they spatter their venom and spleen, but liberty all over the world shall be seen. And I woke from my dream of Napoleon.
To revive recently. We miss singing the songs that we used to sing with my mum, so we've been thinking about putting Watts and Carthy back together with kind of me trying to pretend to be my mum, or you know, just so that we could play the music again because we loved it so much. This is one of her favourite songs and something that we've performed for many, many years. We're going to have an interval after this. If you could look on your tables at the strange leaflets that you've been left, pictures of t-shirts and coats and bags. T-shirts and coats and bags, oh my. What those are is you'll notice at the top there is a QR code. Now, because we're going on public transport and also because carrying merchandise as far as fuel costs and the cost of the environment, things are so dreadful at the moment. What the QR code will do is it will take you to our website, to our shop, where we haven't brought any physical merch with us at all, but if you're interested in our album, The Moral of the Elephant, or any of our stuff, the Waterston Family Archive stuff, things of mine, and this beautiful merchandise. Sadly, they're only printed on one side. The other leaflets that we had, on the other side, it was the very, very special Martin Carthy 80th birthday merch. Which included the now infamous limited edition gold mug. The ugliest thing you will ever own. But it's a limited edition. There were 80 of them. And now there are 79 because one got broken. I would also like to point out that he is now 81 and we have not sold any of them. So please do visit the website, because my manager's starting to get annoyed that they're all still in her garage. This public notice is now over. Thank you very much. Please enjoy your interval. Try not to breathe in too much more pizza. This is Bold Doherty. Thank you.
My name is Bold Doherty, from the North Country, where there's a still forever stream. Landlady, be quicker and bring us more liquor, and fill us a pitcher stronger than cream. If I had you, money so pleasant and jolly, oh, thank you. all dark as he, from the north comes he, where there's a sill upon every stream. Landlady, me quicker, and bring us more liquor, and fill us a pitcher stronger than we.
Production of something. This year they're doing Clavicum Lee. But about 3 years ago, was it three? Maybe four. Sometime before the blip, let's put it that way. Sometime before the blip, she did a production of the Barrack Room Ballads. And so we're going to do a couple of those. The first one is Gentlemen Rankers, which weirdly used to be sung by Bing Crosby. It's very, very strange. But we're gonna sing you. I'll sing you Gentleman Rankers first. A gentleman ranker, if you don't know, is someone who was born into the officer class but has behaved so badly that they will never in their lifetime see any kind of promotion or any kind of officer status. So this is a young gentleman ranker feeling very, very sorry for himself. Do join in if you know it. It's mostly sheep noises, which goes down very well in Yorkshire. How about Wales? How to win friends and influence people. To the legions of the lost ones, to the cohort of the damned, to my brethren in their sorrow overseas. Sing to gentlemen of England, cleanly bred, machine me crowned, and a trooper of the Empress, if you please. Yeah, trooper of the forces, who has won his own six horses, and faith he led the pace and went it blind, and the world was more than kin when he held the ready tin. But today the sergeant's something less than kind. We are poor little hands who have lost our way. Ba, 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 we're little black sheep who have gone astray. Ba, gentlemen rankers out on a spree, down from here to eternity. God have mercy on such as we. All oh, it's sweet to sweat through stables, sweet to empty kitchen slops, and sweet to hear the tales the troopers tell, to dance with blousy housemaids at the regimental hops, and thrash the caddies as you waltz too well. Jen makes you cup a coot to be the rider to your troop, and down little blasted worsted spur, when you envy your hat keenly, one poor Tommy being clean deep, who blacks your boots and sometimes calls you sir. We are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba. We're little black sheep who have gone astray. Ba. Gentlemen rank us out on a spree, down from here to eternity. God have mercy on such as we. Ba, ya, ba. If the homes we never write to and the oaths we never keep and all we hold most distant and most dear across the snoring barrack room returns to break our sleep, can you blame us if we drug ourselves from beer? When the drunken comrade mutters and the great guard lantern glutters and the horror of our fall is written plain, every secret self-revealing on the aching whitewashed ceiling, can you blame us if we numb ourselves from pain? Cause we are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba. We're little black sheep who have gone astray. Ba, gentlemen rank us out on a spree, damned from here to eternity. God have mercy on such as we. Ba, ya, ba. We are done with hope and honour, we are lost to love and truth. We are dropping down the ladder rung by rung, and the measure of our torment is the measure of our youth. God help us, for we knew no worse too young. Our claim is clean repentance for the crime that brought the sentence. Our pride it is to know no spur of pride, and the curse of Reuben holds us till an alien turf enfolds us, and we die. And none can tell them where we die. We are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba. We're little black sheep who have gone astray. Ba. Gentlemen rank us out on the spree, damned from here to eternity. God have mercy on such as we. Ba, ya, ba.
Sing this one for you as well. I should mention, although you probably know, that these were put to music by Peter Bellamy, put into the show musically by Peter Bellamy, our very dear and much missed friend. So we're going to sing you this one now in honour of the Jubilee weekend. Jubilee weekend, you know where we were? As far north as we could get. We were on the north coast of Aberdeenshire. And it was glorious. There wasn't a flag in sight. And we sang this on Saturday night just for Scotland. So now we'll sing it for you. This is the Widow's Party. This is one of Kipling's gloriously lampooning of Queen Victoria's terrible way with her
loyal subjects. This is called the Widow's Party.
Where have you been this while away, Johnny, Johnny? Long with the rest on a picnic lay, Johnny, my Johnny. Well, we called us out of the barrack yard to God knows where from Gosport Park, and you can't refuse when you get the card, and the widow give the party. What did you get to eat and drink, Johnny? Johnny, standing water as thick as ink, Johnny, my Johnny, a bit of beef and a 3 years store, and a bit of mutton as tough as a board, and fowl we killed with a sergeant's sword. When the widow give the party, what did you do for knives and forks, Johnny, Johnny? We carries them with us wherever we walks, Johnny, my Johnny, ah. And some was dies and some was halved, and some was crimped and some was carved, and some was gutted and some was starved. When the widow gave the party, what have you done with half your mess, Johnny, Johnny? We couldn't do more and we wouldn't do less, Johnny, my Johnny, ah. Well, they ate their whack and they drank their fill, but I think the rations has made them ill, for half my company's lying still. When the widow
one of the things that Dad was saying about Napoleon earlier, and we've got more Napoleon coming up in a minute. But you know, I wonder why Wellington wasn't universally loved. Well, it might have been because we were living in the most horrible poverty at the time, and a lot of ordinary working people all over the British Isles thought that Napoleon was frankly going to come and save us and unify Europe. Isn't that a funny one? Yes, let's not get too far into that, eh? but one of the other things we're talking about the shameful treatment of colonial troops. Well, the Napoleonic troops, the people that came back from Waterloo, were offered absolutely no assistance whatsoever, having fought in the Napoleonic Wars. They came back, and many of them, being injured, were immediately out of work and immediately on the streets. And the government's response to that was to introduce the Vagrancy Act. Isn't that great? Isn't that just great? Anyway. I wonder why Wellington wasn't universally loved. Got to see something slightly happier now. This is a story of a girl on her holidays in Bristol. It is actually a true story. It's the story of Princess Caribou. Does anybody know that story? Maybe you wanted to? Well, since you're not that far from Bristol, you can actually go and visit the painting of her that exists in the Bristol Museum. I'm usually somewhere too far north for people to enjoy this story, but you'll be able to go and nip over the water and go and see her. Essentially, what happens is that this girl is busy swimming in the River Avon, which is as rare in the 19th century as it is now, in the city at least. And she encounters a group of what can only be described as drunk hoorays on the side of the bank, who observe her swimming, and she sort of swims over to them and emerges from the water like Ursula Andress in the white bikini, only with soggy bloomers and one sock on and one sock off. And they're completely blown away by the sight of this, for want of a better word, slightly swarthy looking girl coming out of the water. And they decide that she must be from a shipwreck. They decide that she must be a traveller, a gypsy girl, who's been in a shipwreck, and they decide that they're going to be her white knights. So they're, oh, you poor thing, and they wrap her up, and they're looking after her, drying her off and everything. At which point she thinks, oi, oi, I'm going to have some fun. And they manage to establish by the sort of I, Tarzan, you, Jane method of pointing at me and pointing at you and pointing at me and that kind of thing, that her name is Caribou, like the moose. And they quickly establish that they can't understand what she's talking about, or the, you know, the words that she's saying, the language that she's using. And the reason for that is because she's making it up. So they bundle her up and they take her home, and they're, oh, you poor wretch. And somewhere in the course of the cab ride home, they decide that she's not a gypsy after all, that she must be a princess from the mysterious east. I don't know, Norwich or somewhere. who, you know, she's been in a shipwreck. Poor, poor, poor thing. Poor Caribou. Poor Princess Caribou. Princess now. So they take her home and they have her some fabulous clothes made. Huge gold MC Hammer pants, big curly shoes, massive turban with a big feather coming off it like that, and a big jewel in the middle. And she is having a great time now. And they give her curry to eat, because there's some fairly decent curry houses in Norwich. So, but I don't think she likes it very much. She's refusing wine and things like that. But I don't think she likes it very much, because about halfway through the song, she is hungry. And they're busy parading her up and down in that nouveau riche kind of 19th century way, look what we found in the river kind of thing, when she sees a pigeon on the ground. And she goes, Rampoo! And they go, ooh, Rampoo, that means pigeon, everyone. Rampoo, wow. And she goes, Rampoo, and she picks it up and she breaks its neck. And then this is me plucking a pigeon, by the way.
I love doing that. She plucks it, she dresses it, she sticks it in a pan, and she eats it. And they go, wow, she's not a princess, she's a queen. And what they don't do is go, wow, she's not a princess, she's a cook. Which is in fact pretty much what she was. She was a lady's maid from Devon, up on her holidays, having a very nice time at the expense of some extremely gullible people. And I have to say, she lasted 6 weeks there. She had 6 weeks living in the lap of luxury and having a very nice time. There is a painting of her in the Bristol Museum, which was actually finished after she was rumbled. But there she is in her huge MC Hammer pants with a huge feather standing against a sort of stylized backdrop of pyramids and palm trees and God knows what else, kangaroos probably. And yes, it's on the top floor in the portrait gallery. If you go up, you know, right to the back, she's at the back on the right hand side in the corner of the mezzanine level. Do go and visit her because, honestly. So yes, this is Young Caribou. And again, the song is shorter than the introduction.
Thank you.
Napoleon song. This is the grand conversation on Napoleon, followed by a thing we call the elephant. And it's actually the song that we, well, it's the sort of, what do you call a two person, not a triptych, is it a diptych? Because that sounds weird. I'm going to breeze past that. it's two songs together that form really the central part of the album. And it's what we named the album, The Moral of the Elephant, after. The second piece after the Napoleon business, which I have talked about already, is John Godfrey Sachs' poem of the Six Blind Men and the Elephant, which is in itself an ancient Indian parable, telling the story of six blind scholars who go to visit an elephant to determine its nature, to find out what it's all about. And each one of them, being blind, puts their hand on a creature in a different spot, gaining an accurate but imperfect version of what an elephant is all about. So that's it, really. These songs are loosely grouped together under the theme of perception, Napoleon being the hero and the elephant being many, many things to many people. Yes.
And be near ocean light.
men draw to and fro. Napoleon dauntless viewed the flames in place and anguish for the same. He cries retreat, my gallant men, our time is soon to go. What thousands stop me in a mad retreat. Somewhere horses for us to eat. This grand conversation of Napoleon arose. At Waterloo his men they fought, commanded by great Bonaparte, tended by Field Marshal Ney. My 30,000 men are slain and I am sold. Napoleon, you the flames and cries his loss. Was then his favorite charge across? The flames were in confusion where the blood of dying was.
Napoleon was bound to be a prisoner across the sea. The rocks of St. Helena was the awful spot. And as a prisoner there to be till death did end his misery, his son soon followed to the tomb. It was an awful plot. Now long enough they have been dead, the blast of war is round us spread, and may our shipping rise again to face the daring foes. Now, my boys, when honour calls, we'll boldly mount the wooden walls. This grand conversation on Napoleon we close.
Very by the wall. out an eager hand and you felt about the need. What most this wondrous feast is like, this mighty she would give this speech. And the speech goes something along the lines of, we don't do all that going off and coming on and going off and coming on. That's time that none of us have left. It's time we can't get back. So we're going to do you one more, and then we're going to do another one. She would also throw other excuses in there about her knees and stuff like that, but basically she wanted to get back so she could watch Colin. We know. So anyway, we have one more song for you, and then we're going to do another one. So
So yes, we're going to sing you her brother, my uncle Mike Waterson's great masterpiece that he never got to record. We're going to sing you Die for Love, and then we're going to leave, but we're not.
He has been drowned dead, doesn't bring in fear.
from Willie, boy, didn't she wring her hands a little while, it's for a hair much like a maiden in great despair. He came home late one night, he's looking round for his heart's delight. He enters upstairs and the joy grew, and he found her hanging by the rug, and didn't he take in the knife so long and sharp and cut her down in her bosom. Well, a note was found near die, won't you dig me the grave? So very wide, very deep, a marble stone, and my head and feet are in the middle place of snow white gold. Just let the world know that I died for love.
So well, even though we turned up stressfully late. I'm going to go back to Cardiff now and do this.
Little Sir John got along on me, so he came Close to John in the dark.